And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hi there, everybody. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, CRNTalk.com. Okay, and if you tune us in, remember, hit the button for CRN1. Otherwise, you'll get all of the other guys. And we don't want you to listen to them. We want you to listen to us. And we are on over the entire planet at this time. So it's not just here in little L.A. It's in New York. It's all over. It's in Tokyo, Berlin, Moscow,
yes, as a
Baghdad, as you name it. We are all over right now.
As a matter of fact, you press a little button for translation, it goes directly into German or Spanish or Chinese.
Well,
right, Paul?
Yeah. Well, Paul, yeah. Paul is the guy in the control booth. He says no, but we say yes. Don't listen to him. What does he know? He's only control guy.
Yeah, he's only our main engineer. But
anyway, my buddy here today is Malcolm Berman, our producer. Malcolm is here with me to help kibitz and make the hour pass along.
Did you realize that there's only, 50 more weeks to this year?
50? Yeah, wow. Boy, time flies when you're not having fun. Hey, listen, we have some things that we want to discuss today before we have our guest call in. Our guest today is none other than Irwin Zucker, PR guy extraordinaire. He's been around not only in this century, but in the previous century. He knows everybody, and everybody knows him. So if there's anybody out there that wants to call in, our toll-free number here is 800-336-2225. And you can pump him for free information while he's on. And he'll be calling in at approximately a quarter after the hour, and it's already about nine after the hour. Anyway, let's go over some of the news of the past week. Malcolm, did you know there are over 900 million people in the developing nations of the world that are overweight? And that number is up by 400% since 1980.
Do you think this is a result of McDonald's becoming international?
Well, could be. And I thought all of those people were supposed to be starving. So how do they get to be so overweight?
Because sometimes when you eat the wrong foods, especially all carbs with no protein, you become fat.
Oh, that must be my fault. Okay. All right. I have to stop going to McDonald's and McBoogers and all of those fast food places. Oh, archaeologists. People are always digging around. Some people dig holes in the backyard, and some people go to what they call a dig. A dig is a certifiable archaeological site, and archaeologists have dug up the remnants, or what's left after a lot of years, of a 3,000-year-old brewery in Luxor, Egypt. And people always said, the Egyptians don't know how to party.
but did they find any kegs that were still drinkable?
That they didn't say, unless they already drank it up and they didn't want anyone to know.
Yeah, I could dig that.
That's always possible. You dig that? Okay, good. Dig that. Hey, this one I like. Brian Kunkel. This guy owns 5 marijuana dispensaries in the state of Washington, making a lot of money. And you know what? He could not get any of the banks to accept his income, his money, in cash. He tried to bring it in, and they wouldn't accept it because they were afraid to accept that much cash. Except one company accepted his cash, and that was the IRS. He went to them with over $51,000 in taxes, and they took it gladly, and they even gave him a receipt. So the banks wouldn't take his money, but the IRS sure as hell did.
Well, generally, I thought the banks take the money, but they have to report it because they don't want the money laundered.
Well, they're supposed to report it anyway, no matter who they get it from. But anyway, how do you like that? Making money, paying his taxes. Bank didn't want the money, but the IRS said, we'll take it anytime. They welcomed it.
Would the IRS take money from illegal money? If somebody had an illegal...
The IRS has done that. In the past, the IRS has taken over some chicken farm ranches in Nevada and actually run them and generated profit there, too, that went to the U.S. government. You can Google that.
Okay, I will.
Okay, how about that? I mean, as soon as people found out, and, you know, everybody got all upset and the government had to stop doing it. But, yeah, they were doing it. Okay. New York State is now lightening up on the sale of marijuana. And a number of communities have figured out also that the sale of marijuana, while it can generate new tax income, some communities are complaining because they haven't figured out about the tax angle, and they are complaining about the fact that they will no longer be able to confiscate belongings of the dealers, like boats, cars, etc., etc.
It's a shame.
Isn't that too bad? Too bad. Oh, well. Anyway, progress. Progress goes on.
Well, it's funny. I forgot the name of the comedian years ago. Said you have a whole, you know, police force, FBI, that's trying to find the marijuana, heroin, whatever. He said he could get off a plane in any major city and within 10 minutes find a major supply of narcotics.
Does he work for the FBI?
I forget the name of the comedian.
Maybe he's no longer in demand.
No, actually, he's still around, but I think he's probably in his 80s.
Oh, well, he's in the 80s. Forget about him. Oh, did you watch the Golden Globe Awards?
I watched it.
You watched it. You know what? It seems to me that all it's become, and I'm listening to these people, and it's very nice and all that stuff, but is it a fashion show? Is it a mutual admiration society? Or is it a program to award excellence? What happened to excellence for the sake of excellence? It seems as though they're promoting everything but excellence.
Well, it's a way of, in fact, I think it's the only major show where the talent drinks before they have dinner. And they're drinking, so a lot of them are a little inebriated.
Tipsy before they go on?
Which makes it fun. Okay. I enjoy that.
Okay, but while watching it, it seemed all they were talking about what each person is wearing. I mean, who gives a crap what they're wearing?
I do.
You do?
Yeah, I take a look at the women.
I'm looking
at
the way you're dressed right now. Who would ever think you care about what other people wear?
Yes, but when I go to an affair like that, I wear my tuxedo. But that's a problem. Men, you know, they're in tuxedos. That's it.
That's it.
The women, they have their choice of gowns, earrings, shoes.
And everybody has to outdo everybody else.
I think we should have things where men get dressed up.
Well, I'm glad we don't have to. Hey, he's even laughing behind the control booth. He thinks it's funny.
Well, Paul looks nice in his a lavender shirt and his red pants. Well, and look, those purple shoes. I don't know, Paul. I don't know if that matches.
Well, hey, listen, Malcolm, I was watching that for a while, and some of these gals, they get up there, and their tattoos are showing. And I got to tell you, I don't think that is attractive to show your tattoos on national TV.
It all depends where the tats are.
Well, the arms, the necks, and whatever. And yes, you are right. The guys just wear a black tux, and that's it. Okay? Very simple. No brainer. Looks good. And the girls are always competing with each other, each one trying to outdo the other.
There's a word in Yiddish, they're all verpitzt.
I thought that was French.
Maybe. Okay. It's a French. It's a Jewish section of France.
Now, when Jerry Cutler comes on, I know he's been reviewing all the latest movies, so I'm very anxious to hear what he has to say about the Golden Globes and what transpired.
Well, I had a rooting interest. One of the ladies, June Squibb, who was nominated for the supporting actress. She's my neighbor.
Oh, that's the one, Nebraska.
Right, 84 years old.
Well, good for her. So when are we having her on as a guest?
Soon.
Soon.
Yeah,
okay,
I think probably after all the awards, because she's nominated for the SAG Award.
And okay. I think, does that mean we have Irwin Zucker on the line?
Irwin Zucker.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay. Paul, put him on.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Irwin, are you there?
I'm there. I've had a couple of drinks already, and I'm in a mood. And I heard that there are people on the subways without wearing pants. Have you heard about these guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Malcolm just showed me the article.
Oh. I don't know. You know, I'm from New York, as I know you are, and that's a common experience. Have you ridden the subway lately?
Not lately.
Well, we don't want to talk about what people are wearing, pants or no pants on the subway. We want to talk to Jay about, and to Irwin Zucker, who, as far as I'm concerned, is the top PR guy in the country. Also, not only because he is a top PR guy, because he is a great talker, and he knows a hell of a lot of jokes.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks for that eulogy.
But are you wearing your tuxedo as we're speaking?
Not right now.
Yeah. Irwin, look, you've been in the business how many years?
Well, I graduated college in 1948, and I started doing promotion and publicity right after I got out of college.
So over like almost 65 years.
Well, if your math is correct, that's right.
And I know you went to Jefferson High School?
No, I went to Boys High
School.
Boys High.
I wanted to go to Jefferson, but my mother would not let me go to Jefferson because Jefferson was co-ed. My two other brothers went to an all-boys school called Boys High School in Brooklyn, New York. And in those days, we listened to our parents. My mother said, Irwin, whatever she called me, said, Boys High was good enough for your brothers. You're not going to Jefferson. You're going to Boys High. So I went to Boys High.
And now it's Boys and Girls High.
Now it's called Boys and Girls High. In 1975, they finally woke up and realized most schools should be co-ed.
Yeah, I think you went to, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if you went together with him, but my old GSM, my general sales manager at KFAC, Eddie Argo.
I know Eddie Argo very, very well. Eddie played baseball for our high school team, and he got out of Boys High School about 2 years after I did. But I still see Eddie every once in a while. We have high school reunions in California.
By the way, Jefferson doesn't exist anymore as a high school.
Are you sure?
Well, I saw a newspaper article a couple of years ago that it's no longer a high school. The building is still there, and it's used for vocational studies of some kind, but no longer for high school classes.
You mean it's no longer called Thomas Jefferson High School?
That's what I was told.
That's what you were told. Well, you better check it out. And it's probably still up there, but under another name.
I'll have to Google it. Yeah, Irwin, tell me, you've been in the business some 65 years approximately. What have you seen as the biggest changes in the publishing business and in the PR business in all that time span?
Well, the book publishing business, the publicity business, the public relations business, the merchandising business, the marketing business, whatever you want to call it, changes almost weekly, almost daily maybe at times. So you've got to stay up with the punches. What happened 30 or 40, 50 years ago in PR is not happening today.
Yeah, excuse me, Irwin, hold on to that thought. We have 30 seconds to a hard break. Stay tuned to The View from over here on crntalk.com. If you have any questions for Irwin, please call us at 800-336-2225, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Don't go away, Irwin. Hi, we're back on The View from Over Here. I'm Stan Weisleder. I'm here in the studio with Malcolm Berman on crntalk.com. Our guest today is Irwin Zucker, PR man extraordinaire.
From Irwin Boys High School in Brooklyn.
Wow, I'm still here.
Are you still there? Listen, if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way?
Well, they can call me. They can call me at area code 323-461-3921. That's 323-461-3921. And I'll send them a free copy of our newsletter called Know Thy Shelf, which has used our dear friend Stan Weissleder several times with photos and stories. This is the publication of the Book Publicists of Southern California, which I founded 38 years ago, and we're still going strong. We're having a meeting February 13th at Sportsman's Lodge in Los Angeles, and we're going to have Shelley Berman as our headliner, our Valentine's
All right.
program.
How often do you meet at Sportsman's Lodge?
We meet every other month.
Fantastic.
We meet 6 times a year. This is our 38th year. And the organization called Book Publicists of Southern California is designed to help authors and would-be authors to learn how to write and how to sell more books. For example, Stanley Weissleder would love to sell more copies of The Trees, I'm sure. But he does come to our meetings with Marilyn, and I'm sure he's picked up a lot of helpful hints.
Yes, I have.
And Stanley is an award winner from our organization. We have a thing called the Irwin Awards every year. We have the Irwin Awards, and Stanley Weissleder was a winner a few years ago.
Irwin, question for you. What are you working on now? Anything special that you'd like to share with us?
Well, naturally, I'm working on I have twin daughters. They've written 7 health books, so I'm working with them. And they are called in-house accounts. They pay very well. And then my wife is an author. She's written a book about Hedy Lamarr, so she's on my tail all the time. You know, get me on this show, get me on that show. She's also another in-house client, as we call it, and she is paying me very, very, very well. And every once in a while, I promote a guy named Stanley Weissleder, who always has an interesting book or two out, and we do very, very well with him.
Irwin, you're not on to talk about me. You're on to talk about you.
A question, Irwin. This is Malcolm. How has the industry changed now that a lot of people are reading, are doing books on tape, are going through Kindle?
Well, that's right. You mentioned the e-books and Kindle and everything else. But in the promotion of books, we have the Internet. And we have the Internet. And for years, I've always promoted books through radio, television, print. We have blogs today. We have social media. We have so many new things to help publicize books. But you know something? I still love radio the most. I'm a radio fan. I start listening at 5 a.m. in the morning. I listen to AM radio, FM radio, all types of radio, because I'm always interested in shows like this one that interviews authors and interesting personalities.
Well, did you know that this show is heard in Beijing?
Oh, I'm wanted in that country. Oh, okay, all right. I better keep quiet. I use a fictitious name.
Are you into our main thing is like internet radio, which
yes,
to me is like the wave of the future.
Well, internet radio is the future. It is here right now, and it is been going strong for the last 10, 15 years, and Amazon.com has taken over the book business. I mean, if you want a book now, you're lucky if you can get a bookstore. I just spoke to a friend of mine a few minutes ago in Palm Springs. You know something? They don't have a bookstore in Palm Springs.
Really?
They don't have a bookstore. They have gift shops that sell books, but if you want to get a current book, suppose you want to get The Trees by Stanley Weissleder, you can't get it in Palm Springs. Now there is a big Barnes & Noble store in Rancho Mirage, which is not too far from Palm Springs. But Palm Springs used to have 3 or 4 or 5 bookstores. But that shows how the business is changing in many respects.
Well, do you think Amazon will be opening up bookstores?
Oh, they got everything, and they're doing so well. These days, when people want to buy a book, they just go through Amazon.com because that's about the cheapest way to get a book at a discount.
Well, I remember when Amazon first started their stock the value of the stock zoomed up, and experts were saying in order for the stock to be worth that much, they would have to be selling every book in the world.
Excuse me, guys. Hold to that thought because we have to go to a break now. Stay tuned to The View from over here on CRNTalk.com, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned. Irwin, keep on the line.
Hi there, Stan Weisleder back in the studio here with Malcolm Berman on CRNTalk.com. And our guest for today is Irwin Zucker. Irwin, I have to ask you a question, and the question is, how about some interesting stories that have taken place during your 65 years as a PR expert? What would you like to share with us?
What would you share with TMZ?
There are so many stories with the people I have promoted, the authors, like Zsa Zsa Gabor. I remember promoting her maybe about 50 years ago. And we had to pick her up one night at a home in Bel Air. And we drove up to her home. I went inside. And I said, okay, Zsa Zsa, we're ready to go and take you to the place where you have to speak tonight. We went outside the house, and the car was not there. The car was not there. Evidently, I put the car in neutral, and the car rolled back and was hanging over a cliff, believe it or not. And so Zsa Zsa said, boys, don't worry. We can always use my car. It's in the garage. We'll take the Ford station wagon, you know. And that's what we had to do with Zsa Zsa Gabor. But I promoted a lot of famous people like Norman Vincent Peale, who was my first major client. He wrote a big book called The Power of Positive Thinking. He was a giant in the book industry. He was just a big author. He came out to California from New York. I promoted him for about 2 weeks. We got him on a zillion shows. But one of my most memorable authors, Helen Gurley Brown. Helen Gurley Brown.
I remember her.
Oh, she wrote some terrific books. Later, she joined Cosmopolitan as an editor. She and her husband, David Brown, were real friends. They were not only clients, well, they were friends. And I was flabbergasted when her husband, who was a famous motion picture director, producer, executive, he would help me write some of my promotional pieces. And I said, David, I hope you're not billing me for this. And he did it out of the goodness of his heart. But Helen Gurley Brown was such a gracious woman. In fact, that book that became so famous, Sex and the Single Girl, you know, we tried to place an ad in the L.A. Times with that title, Sex and the Single Girl, and they turned us down. And that must have been about 50 years ago.
So it was too sexy?
They said it was too sexy, too racy. We can't use Sex and the Single Girl, you know.
Was that turned into a movie with Natalie Wood?
Right, it became a movie, yeah. And then as the book became more popular, it became more acceptable. And even the Dinah Shore show that turned down the book originally finally accepted it. And eventually, the L.A. Times did accept advertising with the title Sex and the Single Girl. So things do change as we go along.
A bit of a change.
Yeah, it sounds like you were a groundbreaker, or at least your clients were, and you helped them.
Are you there? Irwin? I think something happened to our Irwin connection.
Irwin!
Well, we'll have to redial him.
Well, okay. We'll have to revive him.
Yeah, Irwin, okay. Paul is trying to get him again. I guess it must have to do with the sunspots.
Sunspots? Yeah, maybe it was that guy in Florida that shot the guy who was texting. Maybe that had something to do with
it. You think someone shot Irwin?
Maybe. Who knows?
We'll find out in a minute.
He must have enemies.
On the phone.
But how do you like that story? A guy gets ticked off at somebody texting. The guy doesn't want to stop, so he shoots him.
Well, that, especially the guy's the next, I think, a captain in the police force.
The guy who did the shooting?
The guy who did the shooting.
Hmm.
I think he got just tired.
Well, did he kill the guy or just wound him?
I'm not sure. I think he killed him. I just heard it in the morning when I was leaving for the show.
Well, he could have grabbed the telephone away from him and shot the phone and not the person.
I think he shot the person. But how about the speaking
of what town? What town was that in? I have to make sure to avoid that town.
You're an ex police officer, aren't you?
But I would never go around shooting people just because I didn't like them.
I don't know about that.
I mean, there are some people I think deserve to be shot, but I wouldn't do it just because I didn't like them.
Well, what do you think about that? Also, the two police officers, and I think it's Orange County, that were not guilty about.
Well, I didn't see the evidence, but from the newspaper accounts, these guys, they really lucked out. They got off easy. They got off easy because I didn't see any of the films of them beating him up. You just saw the victim, what the guy looked like after allegedly being beat up.
Well, I've seen some of the video, and the video has, I think there's like six guys, just sort of pounding. I didn't see the guy on the floor, but they were pounding him.
Well, it should be very interesting when the jurors are interviewed and see what they say about why they did what they did. But like I said, I didn't see any of the evidence.
Okay, I think Paul just said we have Irwin back on.
Yes, of course.
Irwin, what happened to you? You had to go to the bathroom?
I got circumcised for the second time in my life.
All right. Did it hurt?
Mazel tov.
I got cut off.
Very good.
Okay, we need a gem roll for that. But by the way, Irwin, you had mentioned you had the book, The Art of Positive Thinking. Our new the show for this year, we're going to call the Positive Spin Zone. We want things about people accomplishing things, positive news. If you listen to all the news on the networks or the radio, they're all negative. We want to accentuate the positive.
I think that's a great idea, Malcolm. Yeah. I think it's just great that you ought to do that. And by the way, I know my time may be up soon, but please say hello to Jerry Cutler, who's a dear friend of mine, and he's a member of the Book Publishers of Southern California. And I read his column on movies in Beverly Hills Courier every week.
Yeah, but we never see him at your meetings.
Well, we've got to get him at one of our meetings, yeah. We're getting a Berman at our next meeting, Shelley Berman, on February 13th.
Yeah, FYI, my brother's an attorney in Manhattan. His name is Sheldon Berman.
You're kidding.
No.
Malcolm, does he tell jokes?
Well, some of the judges he appeared before thinks he's a jokester.
Well, and if you looked at some of the royalty statements that people get, it's quite a joke, you know?
Sure. Anyway, Irwin... thank you for being on. By the way, if you have any authors, including your daughters or your wife that you want on the show, please let us know.
Well, I have Robert Landau, who wrote a book called Rock and Roll Billboards of the Sunset Strip. I mean, this covers the rock and roll scene of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And he's just a great guest. He's a great historian.
Yeah, I saw his book. I like it.
Okay, we have to leave. You're listening to CRN. Talk.com, The View from Over Here. See you soon.
All right, Irwin.
Thanks
see
again,
you
Irwin.
In a couple of weeks.
A Killer of Lions by Stan Weisleder. There were four squadrons of black fighter pilots during World War II that had to fight two air forces in order to gain recognition, the Luftwaffe and the U.S. Army Air Corps. The HBO special and the recent attempt at a full-length feature film do not come close to the full and true story of these brave men. They were not ball players. They were not rap singers. They were fighter pilots and American heroes in the truest sense. A Killer of Lions by Stan Weisleder.
Hi there, Stan Weisleder here in the studio with Malcolm Berman on CRNTalk.com, and the program is The View from Over Here.
And on the phone is Rabbi Jerry Cutler. Jerry, are you there?
I'm here, and Jeff is also here.
I'm here, guys.
Oh, by the way, we just had Irwin Zucker as a guest, and he sends his love.
He's such a nice guy, Irwin.
Yeah, and he said you don't show up at his meetings.
Yeah, that's true. I don't show up. I don't show up by you either.
He doesn't show up to my meetings either.
Hey, listen, I have a question for the both of you because I'm well. You were either there or you watched it on TV. What did you think of the Golden Globes Fashion Show and Mutual Admiration Society?
Well, I loved a lot of the fashions. I thought they were terrific.
Okay, who was your number one fashion of women? Who do you think did the best?
Oh, what, Jerry, how do you say her name?
Yeah, I know. You're the one who told
Lutria,
me.
Lutria, Lutria, Lupita Nyong'o.
Is that the one from
12
Years
a
Slave? Yeah, she's a beautiful lady.
I thought she was gorgeous.
That dress was beautiful. I loved it without even realizing that it was my cousin who designed it.
Oh, who's your cousin?
Ralph Lauren.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Can we get him on the show?
Yeah, I'll call him up. Wait, hold on, will you? I can't get to see him when I go to New York.
Anyway, I loved Amy Poehler and
Tina Fey.
They were wonderful.
They are the best hosts you can get for.
Well, wasn't that also for some kind of an award for excellence? Wasn't that also part of it?
I don't know if they.
You don't know. It was just a fashion show. Okay.
Oh, well, forget that. Yeah, but our concern or our interest was in the award itself. Forget the fashion.
Right, that's what Stan is talking about.
I'm only being facetious, as in feces.
I know that you are, but we're dwelling on it.
Okay, well, what did you think about the awards themselves? Were they to the right people, or how would you have changed it?
Some were, some weren't.
What was your...
Brooklyn Nine-Nine for the best comedy series. I really don't watch too many things, but that I saw once, or no, maybe twice. It's awful. It's not funny.
I hear that it's coming around though, because when we saw it, it wasn't very good.
Yeah, but that's because most of the voting members are from Brooklyn.
Well, probably that's why you got in, man, Andy Samberg. However, Girls was also nominated, which I think is a travesty. They promote this supposed comedy. It's not good. It's not funny. It's disgusting.
I think she's a funny writer. I just think she goes overboard and really gets. It's just ugly what she does.
Well, as you guys know, I've been against promiscuity and sex in the movies, but on TV, where kids can see it, they send the wrong message.
But that's on HBO, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because HBO and Showtime and some of those stations where you have to pay a premium to watch, they're not regulated by the FCC as the
somebody should have enough sense not to put
To watch it. Our daughters watch it, and I try to watch it with them, and I get so grossed out, I have to leave after the first 5-7 minutes, And this time, as I walked out, I said, I'm really trying to understand the show and give it some credit because she's a really good writer, but she gets so gross and demeaning, and they were really turned off this last time. They watched all the way through, but they were turned off.
Well, maybe they're trying to depict what they feel life is. Life is not always peaches and cream. A lot of it is, as you say, gross and disgusting.
Well, but it's the permissiveness, and kids look at that and say, "Hey, it's okay."
I don't object so much to whatever the gratuitous sex or the shows on HBO or some of the premium stations, but what I object to is some of the commercials on the regular station, especially like during the sports shows where you have the kids watching. And they're talking about Viagra or Cialis or, when the mood strikes.
Well, that's
strikes.
Just nature.
you said gratuitous sex. What about gratuitous stupidity, which I see on a lot of these programs?
Yeah,
well, that's prevalent, and that's unfortunate. It's growing by leaps and bounds.
What I hate is the laugh tracks. Someone walks in and says hello.
Awful, I know. Anyway, let's get to the movies.
Yes, movies.
The best movie. Well, I think they were right in both cases. 12 Years a Slave, which I thought was brilliant. And also Hustle, American Hustle.
American Hustle.
I did not necessarily agree with best performance by an actor in a motion picture, comedy, and musical. And those things upset me, comedy, musical. Why not just a picture? Why does it have to be departmentalized?
Well, I think it should.
Oh, okay. I'm the wrong person.
Yeah, it should, because you can't compare apples to oranges.
I mean, thought Bruce Dern was brilliant. Do you, Jeff? Because he saw it with me, no?
In Nebraska?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he was. He was absolutely brilliant.
He's the one who should have won.
Who won for the best actor?
Best actor in film, right?
That's DiCaprio in a comedy.
Was that considered?
Hold on, Jerry and Jeff. We're coming up to a break, but we're going to have you on for the last segment. So you're listening to The View from Over Here on CRNTalk.com, and we'll be back in a few minutes to end the show with Jerry and Jeff Cutler.
Hi there, Stan Weisleder here in the studio with Malcolm Berman on The View from Over Here on CRNTalk.com. Our guest today, or right now, this moment, our guests, Jerry and Jeff Cutler.
Are you considered guests or
they're considered guests, residents. They live here.
I wanted to ask you, did either of you see American Hustle?
I did.
Did you love it?
At the beginning, I didn't.
Ah.
I got involved in it sort of halfway through the movie. It sort of developed the characters because there was no good guys and bad guys.
Oh, okay, because I saw it twice, as it turns out. But I've got to tell you, when we were talking about best performance by an actor in motion picture, comedy, or musical, I think Christian Bale.
He was wonderful.
I think he is such a talent, and I think he, over Leonardo, should have won that.
But I don't know why they consider that a comedy.
Oh, it was a huge comedy.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
We were laughing.
Well, that doesn't make it a comedy. We were.
Right.
Oh, I think it was a whole take. I mean, I loved the hair, the costumes.
No, there were funny parts, but I don't think the theme, the overall theme, was comedic. There were things that happened, you know, with his life that were funny, and what they did was funny. But I don't think any of the people were funny.
Anyway, I didn't see it. I'm waiting till it's on TV.
No. Stan.
Stan, you must see Nebraska and the other films that were up.
I will see every one of them in the next couple of weeks.
Go to see as many as you can.
Well, they have the SAG Awards on Sunday. What's the difference between the voting on the SAG Awards? Do you think different movies will be awarded?
You have a totally
awarded?
Group of different people voting.
The SAG is just a Screen Actors Guild,
right.
Of which we are members.
And here you have the foreign press, so you're going
and this is hokey anyway. Foreign press, what, they have 79 or something? And
but you know what? It's a fun show.
None of them speak English. Well,
actors.
It's fun because
they drink.
They're all foreigners.
Right. Now, did you watch the show? Did you see Jacqueline Bisset do her
yes.
abominable
She said she was discombobulated because John Voight had kissed her on the way down. She stopped and kissed. Incidentally, John won for Best Supporting Actor. And I think that was in TV, of course, Ray Donovan. He's brilliant. And he deserves that so much.
Have you seen the Ray Donovan segments?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Love them. Do you like them?
I can't wait for the season to start again.
Okay, Jerry, Jeff, I think we're headed towards the end of the show. Are you ever coming in again?
Yeah, well, today I have a bad cold, so there was no way I was going to come.
Are you going to be seeing any movies this week, do you know?
Yes,
tonight we're seeing the, what the heck is
You can see what that. That's a good.
That's
movie.
A good movie. Wait, yeah.
He's been ill.
the Clancy movie.
Jack Ryan.
Shadow Recruit.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit.
Right. Just ask us. We'll send the limo over to you.
How many different Jack Ryans has there been? About four.
There have been at least four. Yes. Yeah. And he's about the fourth one to play it.
All right, we'll wait for the limo next week, Malcolm.
Do I still like the first one best, Alec Baldwin?
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, I like.
Anyway, guys,
I like the Harrison Ford's one. Okay.
Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
This is
The View from over here on crntalk.com. Also go to www.viewfromoverhere.com. Say
and
goodbye,
we're
Stan.
All over the world. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
The View from Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.